With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to Mind Medicine.
Mind Medicine.
Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mind Medicine program in association with Mind Medicine Australia. I'm your host, Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur. Thank you so much for joining us on today's News Talk TNT Radio. I'm in Melbourne, where it's 6 p.m. on Monday. My guest this week is the wonderful Wade Northhausen, a true Aussie battler fighting for all Australians. He's in WA at the moment. It's 4 p.m. for him. It's 1 a.m. Sunday morning in Los Angeles and 9 a.m. in the UK. So wherever you are around the world, welcome if you are live and welcome if you're watching a recording sometime in the future. So I wear my red jacket because I am a passion provocateur, and red is the color of passion. So when you see red, I want you to think passion, and I want you to come to this program and be inspired to pursue your passion. I don't have any guests on this program that I interview who are not passionate about what they do. So this show is all about how and why mind matters and how to keep yours in great shape. And today with Wade, we're going to be talking about the mental state of Aussie farmers, because he has great experience on that. I'll tell you a bit more about Wade when we get to it. But how do you keep your mind in great shape? We discuss ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. I mean, what's the point of being on this planet? You know, what are we supposed to be doing? Insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we are delighted to bring this program in association with Mind Medicine Australia. And that organization was founded 5 years ago to legalize psychedelic drugs, particularly psilocybin and MDMA. And after 4.5 years of hard work influencing regulators in this country, Australia has become a world leader in the legalization of these two psychedelic drugs when prescribed by psychiatrists. And that occurred on the 1st of July last year. So please visit mindmedicineaustralia.org.au to get the full details. Part of the problem, however, is that only psychiatrists can prescribe these drugs. It's a start, but to get onto the books of a psychiatrist takes weeks and weeks. They're also busy because of the depth of mental health issues. These drugs are fantastic. They create amazing results for people who have been on pharmaceutical drugs for years. And in two or three sessions with these psychedelic drugs, suffering people are getting amazing results. So check out the website and help Mind Medicine to expand its reach and speed up the rollout of these wonderful solutions to mental health problems. And we also talk about health of all description here. And my definition of health is based on the Hungarian word for health that means wholeness, being whole. My definition is that health is the unique optimal balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. So we cover all of those aspects in this program. We talk about passion and its impact on your life and health. And I urge you, if you don't know what you're passionate about, then discover your passion. Read my books, Passionate People Produce, Passionate Performance. They're available on my website, charlescoves.com. When you are passionate, your mental health problems reduce. And I assure you that Wade Northhausen is a passionate man. You'll find out why in just a moment. So a couple of spots of editorial commentary. My guest last week was Claire Payne, science researcher and journalist. And she listened to the recording of that on the question of excess deaths in Australia this alleged mystery of why there are excess deaths. I know why there are, because people had to take these jabs that are not vaccines over the last 4 years against their will. And Claire did a major research study on people being coerced to have these jabs. So if you didn't listen to it, worth going back to listen to that. My other standard warning to you is to read the inserts on any pharmaceutical drugs that you take. They are a horrific story, and they will make you think twice whether you take such drugs. They list the alleged side effects, but they are effects of these drugs, and I want you to be aware of what you are risking by putting such drugs into your body before you put them into your body. If you have any comments, questions, put them in the chat during the program. Wade and I will try to answer them. I'm working closely with the Aligned Council of Australia that is organising Australia's largest letterbox drop, fighting against what I call the World Hurt Organisation. They call themselves the World Health Organisation. And so you can, please, we're looking for volunteers for this letterbox drop. There's over 1 million leaflets being printed, ready for distribution to 1 million Australian homes. The website of the Aligned Council is alignedcouncilofaustralia.com.au. Last week, I spent the week in the Hunter Valley up near in Pocolban, close to Cessnock, and it was the Australian Industrial Hemp Conference. It's a very successful conference. Now, you've often heard me talk about industrial hemp, and I'm pushing Australian farmers to look seriously at industrial hemp. This is an amazing crop given to us by God. It's been used by humans for 6,000 to 8,000 years. It's only been political interference that has slowed down its expansion. Now it's time to expand. The legislative burdens have to a large degree been removed. So Aussie farmers and farmers all around the world, when you plant hemp, you can go literally off-grid. You can free yourself of unwanted government interference. I'll discuss that with Wade because he's on a mission there to protect farmers and Australians from unwarranted government interference. Hemp is good for you. I take hemp seed every day. I put hemp seed oil with my wife, Julie, on our salad. You know, cook with it. You put it onto your salad. It's a wonderful source of protein. Victoria had the worst premier in its history from 2014. Dictator Dan, I call him Dick Dan Andrews, and he resigned in September last year. The chickens are coming home to roost. Yesterday it was announced that Victoria's interest bill on its debt, that is an incredible debt, Victoria's interest bill is $24 million a day. $24 million of interest a day. These politicians spend money like it's not theirs. And indeed, it's not. It's ours. And they must be held to account. So think what that burden of interest and debt is doing. It means that a whole bunch of government services can't be provided. Where's the money going? I'll tell you where. There's a suburban rail, there's many places, wasted on the COVID response, but on a suburban rail loop in Victoria that no one I know wants this bloody thing. It was first quoted to cost $50 billion. It's now going to cost $217 billion, from $50 billion to $217 billion. It's outrageous, and you need to be aware of it, and you need to understand that debt burden stops governments being able to give you services that are useful to you, the taxpayer, and you're the one who gives money to government. Lastly, full credit to Children's Health Defence for raising in court the fraud results that were relied upon by medical authorities to claim that childhood vaccines don't cause autism. The fact is that they do, and Children's Health Defence is now proving the fraud that's been perpetrated on humanity. Autism cases are rising dramatically. They used to be 1 in 10,000. Now they're 1 in 40 in Australia, from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 40. This must stop. Vaccinating children, ridiculous number of antigens pumped into kids in the first 4 years of life. In Australia, 43 antigens have to be injected into a child in the first 4 years of life. That is ridiculous. There's never been a full safety and efficacy study on that number of antigens pumped into kids. The science, you've heard me say many times, is never settled. Anyone who tells you that the science on vaccines is settled is defrauding you. So do not comply. Use your free will. Wade's going to talk about free will. Humanity must unite in non-compliance against government dictate. Spread the news about TNT Radio. This is the place for truth and freedom and justice. And there's no censorship here. This is no political correctness here. This is a censorship-free zone. And as we're fighting for the lives that we want, choose to be happy. Don't wait for circumstances to be perfect. You can be happy now, as I am. I'm fighting these fights, but I promise you, I'm happy. You can fight this fight in association with TNT Radio and choose to enjoy the fight. Contact me by email, charles@covest.com. As I said, if you've got any comments, put them into the chat during the show. We'll try to get to it. And also check out the Charles Covest Show. We're up to episode 194. You can find that on Rumble or YouTube or on many podcast stations. Now, let me tell you a bit about Wade Northhausen. I've had him on the show a long time ago. I'm delighted to have him back. Wade is a true Aussie freedom warrior, a truth warrior, fighting for Aussie farmers, fighting for all Australians. He established Billboard Battalion. He will explain what that is. He's been a third generation dairy farmer from Victoria. Wade, welcome to the program.
Yeah, g'day, Charles, and a big hello to all your viewers and people who are listening, whether it's live now or around the world or later on in the recordings.
Well, I love that you're wearing a red top, Wade. We look fantastic in our red tops. Gosh, how exciting that is. Now, Wade, tell us where you are and what you are doing, and take as long as you like because this is a compelling story.
Well, right now, today, we're coming to you from a room in downtown Bridgetown, southwestern Western Australia, and we're doing a tour. We've just done one of our public meetings in Katanning, which is in the southwest of Western Australia. It's a big sheep and wheat belt of WA. And we're doing a run down this way. We started off there a couple of weeks ago to do a tour through New South Wales and Queensland. And we've been doing that, and we got a call from some people in Western Australia saying, look, we've been watching what you've been doing. We've got people here in WA now, particularly farmers and other community members who are starting to get very, very concerned about a lot of things that are happening. And they had a public meeting here only weeks ago with regard to all the cultural heritage laws and so on and the threats to people's properties. And also they said that, you know, a lot of people are now starting to get very, very sick. And in fact, some of them are dying at greater numbers. So, people over here in Western Australia now are very, very hungry to find out a lot of the facts, the way that Billboard Battalion delivers it, and not just the garbage and the 80% wishy-washy crap that they get from a lot of the other presenters and from government and media and so on. So they've discovered Billboard Battalion. They've discovered our style and that we shoot straight. And now they've asked us to come across to Western Australia and present over here. We got here about a week ago. We've been down to Katanning. As I said, we went to stand in the park this morning here in Bridgetown. We only sort of got onto that last night. And it was very, very good to see that, you know, I thought they have a fair few people that stand in the park here in Bridgetown. And the people just said, well, look, we've actually come specifically to see you. And I thought, you know, that's very, very humbling. And, you know, it just shows that We've got people who've travelled a long, long way. Some people so far have travelled 350 kilometres to come and hear us speak. So once we finish that, Charles, we're heading down to Albany. But anyway, we can talk about that a little bit just down the track. But
Wade, what I would like you to share with us is, you know, is what are the facts that you are sharing? The people say, hey, we want to hear the facts. And you start, well, I'll ask you later about what the whole idea about Billboard Battalion is, but you, when you do a presentation, what are the key facts that you're sharing with these audiences? And you do it very well, by the way. I have seen you live, you know, when, and you can speak for an hour and a half. So just give us the crucial issues that you discuss, bringing to a light, shining a light, if you like, on these facts when the farmers go, hey, what is happening?
So not only farmers, Charles, but everybody in the community. And what I bring to them is the fact that things that are happening all over the place that are very bad and dangerous for us are not happening in isolation. The most important thing, the messaging, is to understand what's going wrong in your area or your life or your country is part of a particular global plan, and that is all coordinated. And where people are having terrible things happening to them in their life, from a policy level or government level or something else, they need to know that these are people who are deliberately in the business of destroying their life. They're deliberately in the business of so-called population reduction, and everybody would understand that those words actually mean genocide, or as I say, global mass murder. You know, that's the bottom line. We cut to the chase, and that's the bottom line. So that's the primary thing that people need to understand. And from that primary message, we branch out from there. And the other part of that, Charles, is that we don't just need people to hear about that. We need people, whether it be community, individuals, or other groups or other organisations, to start saying that as well, because we need to get that message out into the public so that the public start to work out they're actually under attack. It's a coordinated, incremental and deliberate attack. And the bottom line is, if you don't know that you're in a war, you can't fight a war. If you don't understand that there's something going on, you can't fight it. And that's where we're at, mate. That's the bottom line. It's what we're doing.
Well, what have you found? We're going to go to a break in a couple of minutes, but just what has been the response of audiences in WA? I mean, they've asked you to come, and generally speaking, give us a sense of, you know, there are some people, you know, there are some people who would go, this just doesn't make sense, Wade, and others will go, absolutely, Wade, you're on the ball. So give us a sense of the response that you get from your speeches.
So it's interesting, Charles, that we get a lot of people who are already on the same page, and you would understand that. But we're getting more and more fresh faces now. And, you know, the meeting at Katanning that we had the other day, it was very good to see that we're starting to get younger people are coming. And for those of us who've been in the freedom fight for a long time, it's generally been the older people who turn up, because the older people understand more what's happening, and they've been around for a long time, and they can see the changes. They experience them themselves. Secondly, we're getting a few more farmers who are starting to turn up, who have not been involved in the freedom fight before, and this is across Australia, and that's where we're specifically looking at the minute. And some of the responses that we're getting is, you're making us cry. You're terrifying us with this stuff. You know, we've had a lot of people now have come up with this kind of response, which is nothing new, but it's growing. And, you know, we did a meeting the other day there in Queensland, and so many people were almost in tears. They were fighting back tears as I was speaking, as the penny's dropping, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. And so you're really... you know, you're really having an impact on your audience because, you know, as I've been a professional speaker for 31 years, Wade, when I left my legal career, you know, and to be able to move an audience to that extent is a powerful thing to do, and shows you are tapping into the truth of the audiences. We've got to go to a break. We'll come back. You're on TNT Radio, today's News Talk Radio, and we'll be back after these messages.
TNT's Rick Munn.
The US have provided assurances to prevent Julian Assange appeal against extradition. So the death penalty will not be imposed, they said. But WikiLeaks founder's wife, Stella Assange, said he will not be afforded First Amendment protections. So last month, two judges deferred a decision on whether Assange, who is trying to avoid being prosecuted in the US on espionage charges, clearly relating to the publication of thousands of classified documents that they say endanger life, and so on and so forth. So bottom line is here, the US government have said, pinky promise, we won't put him to death when he gets there. Yeah. That's a little bit like if a crocodile could talk or a great white could talk and you're on a surfboard and you're thinking of going into the ocean for a little dip and he said, don't worry, I won't bite.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk TNT.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. A hoax about carbon dioxide in the climate has caused a global energy and economic disaster. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the program. My guest is Wade Northhausen, Aussie farmer and activist. And we're talking about and the founder of Billboard Battalion. Wade, can you tell us about the concept for Billboard Battalion? You're in WA at the moment, for those who haven't, who are just joining us now. What's the concept? What, you know, and what's your history that led you to, you know, to be an activist?
So my history, Charles, is I'm a third generation dairy farmer, but I've been very active in primarily the agricultural political scene. I've seen that a lot of things have been wrong that government's been doing to our farmers and the rest of the population, frankly. But I got involved in the ag politics in the mid 80s, started to follow all the conspiracy theorist stuff, which turned out to be correct. So it's not a theory, they're conspiracy facts. And so over a long career in fighting for farmers and other issues, Aboriginal politics, gun law stuff, water politics, and so on, we've arrived at the point where when we saw the COVID-19 kick into gear just after event 201, this was all the things I was told back in the mid-80s from the conspiracy factualists, that a group of people throughout the world, they call themselves the elites, are going to start to attack and kill population of the world. And one of the primary weapons they're going to use is pandemics and so-called vaccines. So that's how I got to here. And once we saw the things that were happening with the pandemic and the fraudulent pandemic, I started to think, right, we're seeing people who are being censored. We had good people who couldn't speak. They were being smashed to bits. They were losing their families, their lives and everything else. And they had no voice. So I thought, I'll put together an organisation, because I've used this before in the water wars, fighting for our farmers, where we put convoys of utes and so on together, and we went down to Melbourne and protested down there with all these signs all over utes and orange flashing lights and the like. Incredibly successful in taking that message to the public. And when we saw the censorship and everything that was being said about people here, I thought, I'll put together a billboard battalion. We'll rebuild our convoys. We'll rebuild our ability to put our own placards and messaging on and take that and challenge the public censorship and the narrative, which is what we did. That was hugely successful. And now that's expanded into a public speaking circuit. All the videos we do, all the Zooms we do, all the information we put out, and our tours, which are, this is about the fourth tour we've launched, and now it's, this is the biggest one. And having a speaking circuit and taking the message to people, what we can do about it, and to try and get more and more people to understand that in the whole freedom movement, I think there's only one course of action that we need to take under a leadership or a very tight leadership group, simply because we've seen everything else that they've been doing in the past and it's not working. So we're going a different way about it, and that's what we're about.
Interesting you use the word conspiracy theorist. I've got a poster here. This is a very clever poster. I'll read the words on it so people who are listening in some other format, but one of my former interviewees sends this, and this says, the real conspiracy theorists believe that the government cares about them, the media would never mislead or lie to them, and the pharmaceutical industry that makes billions off sickness wants to cure them. Isn't that a great sign?
That is fantastic, and that's cheap and easily made, and speaks to the truth, mate, speaks to the truth.
So who are they that you talk about? You know, that we've got a freedom movement. We're talking about freedom. I'm a freedom warrior. That's how I describe myself. And my passion for freedom came from my parents as refugees from Hungary. They were refugees from communism. And, you know, the what you're doing, you're going to the masses. No one can censor you when you are talking to human beings. The internet can't censor you. You are out there. And the communist playbook, for anyone who doesn't understand this, the first thing that communist socialists do when they come into power is to limit free speech. And Wade, you're out there speaking to human beings, and you and I are not being censored here by TNT Radio. And I think everyone needs to understand that there's no censorship on this. There's obviously, you can't swear like a trooper. That's not censorship. That's just, you know, manners. You know, manners are observed on this radio program.
Yes.
And the communists, you know, that's where they start. And in the 20s and the 30s and in Hungary, the way it starts is that little children, they come to school, they're asked by their teachers, oh, what did your parents talk about? And when they say, oh, Dad said that the government stinks, the next step that happens is the father comes, gets arrested, and he's never seen again. So this whole issue of freedom. So I'm a professional speaker, and comedy, you know, is a key way of driving free speech, and that's what you're doing. And you are replicating. You are speaking the truth as you best know it, and you're replicating the way that our Commonwealth of Australia was formed at Federation in January 1901, because for 10 years, people were doing what you're doing now. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Well, thanks for that, Charles. And can I just say from the outset that when you say, you know, I'm speaking, you know, the truth as I know it, I believe that I hear a lot of people talk about you two speak your truth and I speak my truth. There's only one truth. That's it. And that's fact-based, fact and evidence-based. And at the end of the day, I'm not aware of anything that I speak about that I cannot back up. So therefore, you know, that's the most important thing, firstly. And secondly, I wanted to touch, before we look a bit more into what you said, I want to touch base on something that, I'd like to say about you and your history. Throughout the tours that we do and the speaking engagements that we do, I get a huge number of older people from the, for example, Eastern European bloc. the communist countries, the socialist countries. And, you know, I'll do an engagement, a speaking engagement, and many of these older people will come up, some of them in tears, and some of them just with a stern, stony look on their face and saying, what the hell is wrong with you people in Australia? We fled communism. We fled socialism. And for those who might not know, you know, a lot of the people are indoctrinated to think communism is about sharing wealth equally amongst people. It is not. And I say this to a lot of our university kids, our young kids through the high school. Communism is about a very, very tiny dictatorship taking everything and killing the rest of the people in the country, or starving them, or robbing them, or treating them like lepers. And the government has the belief that they can just go into the community and just shoot people and kill them whenever it suits them. That is communism. So I understand completely why your family would have come over here, because we get this all the time. And they say, what is wrong with you people in Australia? Do you not get this? Do you not understand what you're allowing to take over your country and you're embracing? So, you know, that's one of the main messages that we get constantly from people. And I think that is so powerful. And, you know, I see a lot of the people who give us, they talk about what happened to their families in the communist countries, and it's horrendous. So, I mean, you would know more about that than I do. I'm only going on the information I'm told by the people who come to our meetings and so on.
So, and then come back to this question of you're replicating the way that the Commonwealth of Australia was formed over a 10-year period of speakers like you on the back of horse-drawn carriages.
Well, and that's a very, very nice thing for me personally to think that me and my team, that's how people view us, because we're just average Aussies, mate. I'm just a bloke from the bush down, come from Echuca area, north central Victoria, Australia. I'm just a farmer down there. That's what I love to do. But I can see that things are very, very wrong, and all my experiences and knowledge that I've built up over the years tell me that things are wrong. So therefore, you know, myself with my team, we're on the road because we know things are happening, and I don't want to get to a situation where we knew and we didn't say anything. We don't want to get to a situation where people say, listen, Wade, you mongrel, you knew this stuff was coming. Why did you not say anything? Why did you not warn us? And, you know, I like to think a lot about our founding fathers and our founding settlers and, you know, all the people who have gone into Australia, and their courage and their conviction and their trying to fight for our country, because that was wholesome and a good thing to do. Well, we're on the same bandwagon as that. You know, we're fighting for our kids' futures, for everybody's kids' futures. And, you know, I appreciate very much your analogy of, you know, standing on the back of a horse and cart or a dray or something in the town square and travelling around the country, just speaking the truth and notifying the Australian people of what's real and what's truthful and how much danger they're in and that we need to respond.
Yes, you are precisely doing that. Now, tell me about, in your bio, you talk about the corporatization of agriculture. You know, there's a corporatization of Australia, but what's your sense of what's happening to farmers in Australia and the impact on their mental health from what's happening? Because you're a third-generation farmer, third-generation agriculture. Give us your thinking on that corporatization movement.
So years and years ago, I started to work out that family farmers were being deliberately destroyed. They were being sent bankrupt, they were being shut down, they were being locked out, and they were losing their properties. And I think it's important to note to the people who are listening that the likes of the World Economic Forum, who we're specifically fighting against, and they're attacking us, that's why we're fighting against them, the United Nations and the World Health Organization, these people want to form what they term as the one world government. And it's important to know that many of the people that make up these terrorist organizations who hate us and want us dead and gone are in fact made up of many of the world's big corporates. And what we're seeing is these people now have the power, because they now basically control our governments around the world, and they have the power to use the legislation of government to destroy family farmers, as well as family businesses generally across the community and jobs and everything else. But if we're looking at farmers specifically, we're seeing the destruction of the Australian family farm, and it's being rolled up into massive big corporate structures. And the danger of that, firstly, is that those corporates are the World Economic Forum and the UN and the WHO. So therefore, we know that their plan, once they get ownership of everything and control of it, is to shut down the food production. That's their caper. And secondly, if you knock out the family farmers, you knock out the skills and the knowledge on how to grow food, on how to farm. So how do they do that? If we go back to 2007 Water Act on the Murray-Darling Basin Plan, what we saw there was what I called economic and psychological warfare against our farmers and communities. So they deliberately brought in government policies to send our farmers broke. That was a specific and deliberate strategy. And in that particular spectrum there, it was about taking away irrigation water from farmers and then foreclosing or making it through government policy, making it impossible for them to be viable. So therefore, the immediate effect was that was massive psychological problems, massive psychological dramas. And I'll say from the outset, that is your government's specific tactic, is to deliberately create enormous, massive psychological and emotional damage. That is a part of the plan. It's called how to demoralize people and destroy them so they can't fight. So having said that, we saw the governments at the time saying, oh, look, we're going to put all this extra money into mental health. Well, I want people to know that is a fraud and a con, because the governments were the ones who are creating the mental health. And I can tell you right now, when you see governments, your bureaucrats and your big corporates attacking family farmers, some of them were third, fourth and fifth generation farmers who owned everything. They were good at what they do. In some cases, the best in the world. But government policy can destroy them overnight, literally with a stroke of a pen and a piece of paper can wipe them out. So, you know, I ran a lot of meetings as a Victorian Farmers Federation branch president. I was on the Victorian Farmers Federation Water Council, and I left the VFF because my opinion is the VFF was nothing more than a sellout and traitors who helped the government bring in policies to destroy our farmers. And I'm happy to take them on anywhere, anytime and push that issue, because that's exactly what they are. The Victorian Farmers Federation are in the business of wiping out our farmers. So I formed a group called Southern Basin Communities, and we went around fighting for our farmers, trying to get the Murray-Darling Basin Plan stopped. And we had meetings in Victoria, New South Wales and South Australia. And I saw fifth generation farmers literally come up and crying on my shoulder, bawling their eyes out, because they were losing everything through no fault of their own. So the mental and emotional stress and drama of losing their income, their farms, which they were embarrassed about, and their family destruction, their marriages falling apart. And I can tell you right now, I spoke at a meeting and asked a question of somebody there a while ago, an absolute bonehead. And I said, you do realise that in agriculture, we've got these problems, and we had a lot of issues where on top of the drought, the government took our water, and quite often you'd see the milk tanker would turn up at the dairy farm to pick up the milk, and they'd find the dairy farmer hanging by the neck from the roof.
Wow. So, Wade, you expressed that beautifully that, in fact, many farmers have lost their farms not because they're bad or ineffective or unprofitable farmers, but because of government policy. And, you know, I think this attack on agriculture, I'm having dealings with people in Ireland where the EU wants to demands that Ireland cull a million head of cattle because they want us eating bugs. And this whole attack on family farms, that's my view, and I'm wondering whether you agree with this, that family farms are an important protection of our freedoms, because if we're all living in the city and all farming is corporatized, which is the end result because there's mega machines, then our ability to fight back against government is enormously restricted. Would you agree?
Absolutely, Charles. And you mentioned about the big cull of cattle in Ireland. I want people to understand that what farmers are dealing with, and right now we're seeing massive protests from farmers all over Europe. And that is because, and I'll just say this to preempt this, a lot of what I talk about now is governments deliberately destroying the red meat industry. And that's farmers and your food. So the governments are coming up with these policies now that claim that our farmers represent 33% of the so-called climate change gases. Now, I want people to understand that your governments are trying to set up to destroy your farms. And this is a part of the psychological abuse that they're doing to the general public to make this happen. So what you're talking about in Ireland is a part of the same big picture that I talked about before, because you've got that in Ireland. You've got the attacks on other farmers about the so-called diesel and the fuel that they use, the emissions in the Netherlands. Their policy from their sociopathic government is to destroy 3,000 farms at the minute. And this is under the pursuance of so-called climate change mitigation policy. Now, I want people to understand that climate change is an absolute fraud, and what its only purpose is to use the so-called net zero carbon reduction to put your farmers out of business. That is one of the specifics what climate change is all about. And can I just say, sorry, Charles, go on.
Yeah, no, we've got to go to break. Finish that thought, and we'll go to a break.
So this is what people need to understand, is that the governments, your governments, when they talk about climate change, that is a weapon to wipe out your farmers, your food production. So we might expand on a little bit on that after the break, if that suits.
I do want to come back to that. So we've got to go to a break, and these are important issues, everybody. The government policies are out to destroy family farms. Through my work in industrial hemp, I'm out to stop that process. So I'm fully supportive of what Wade is sharing here, and we'll be back after these messages.
When the world's endangered animals need help most, when their lives are at greatest risk, when they would otherwise be lost, the International Fund for Animal Welfare is there, taking action to rescue the animals we love, to protect them and their threatened natural habitats. But the danger to animals the world over is growing, and the need for your help has never been more urgent. On land, you'll help stop poachers from threatening and killing elephants and big cats for the illegal wildlife trade. In the oceans, you'll help rescue dolphins, whales, and seals from deadly hazards. And you'll help rescue, rehabilitate, and release vulnerable animals when disasters strike. Here at home and around the world, we can't do this work without you. See how you can help animals and people thrive together at joinifall.org.
Hi, I'm Abel.
I often forget to mention that he's an amputee because Abel will try any activity he can.
My arm helps me with basically everything.
He doesn't see what he can't do. He sees what he can do.
Yeah, okay. This is helping.
The War Amps has just given him the ability to do all the activities every kid can do.
When you donate to the War Amps, you help kids like me. Thank you.
This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm with Wade Northhausen, Aussie farmer fighting for you, fighting for farmers. And we're talking about net zero, and that net zero is a fraud designed to take away farms from Aussie farmers. And over the last 20 years, I've seen a lot of media about farmers committing suicide, and Wade touched on that. Well, it's government policies that are causing farmers to be losing their farms, the water wars, the Murray-Darling Basin, and now net zero is doing the same thing. Tell us your views on that, Wade, that this whole game of net zero, we've got to stop farmers emitting any emissions. What do you say that's all about?
So first of all, people need to understand the origins, of course, of climate change or that fraud. And they originally started calling this global warming back in the 90s. And it's a specific plan that was dreamt up by a think tank to say, how can we wipe out people across the planet? What can we unite them in and terrify the hell out of them into accepting things that are going to destroy their lives, their businesses, and their farms? So that's the first thing to understand. They called it global warming for a start, but when they found out there was no global warming and everyone busted them on it, the scientists, they had to call it something else. So now it's climate change. And now if you listen to these parasites in the UN and so on, they're calling it global boiling. So the entire climate change thing is a fraud, but it's designed to terrify the hell out of people. And if we look at even the mental state of our kids now, they're distraught. They're having nervous breakdowns because they think they're going to die from climate change. And I would just say, Charles, as I always do, if things go bad and we lose this race, I want people to remember the names of the politicians and the people in the media who brought you this stuff. Remember their names. Write it down. Scratch it on the wall. I don't care, but remember the people who have come after you, because that's the sole purpose. So this business about net zero, that strategy would have been worked out 40 or 50 years ago, that they were going to come up with this net zero carbon crap. So that is unachievable. It is completely unachievable. And the ramifications of the trying to bring in that policy and achieve it is you end up wiping out every bit of food production you've got, every bit of energy production you've got, every bit of transport and moving around the country. The fact is they will end up saying that the problem is you, the human beings, so you have to be got rid of. So we need...
Well said. You articulate that very well. And because we're getting close to the end of this conversation, there are two big questions now that flow from these messages that you're sharing. And it makes total sense to me. And I'm a big fan of Ian Plimer. And Ian absolutely has the science that supports, Wade, what you are saying. Now, I've got two questions. I'm going to ask them one after the other, but just so that you know that there's two. What are your goals for Billboard Battalion? What do you want to achieve? What's your vision? And then I'm going to ask you a second question, which is how people can help you, but I'll remind you of that. Come back to the first question. What's your vision for what you want to achieve with Billboard Battalion? What are your goals along the way?
So what we're trying to achieve is to, number one, educate the Australian people, and that will extend, obviously, to international. Educate the Australian people as to they are under attack, what's happening, who's behind it, and how they're doing it, and what their end goal is. And the idea there is to pull Australia together into an effective fighting force to resist this, because information's everything. You talked earlier on about, you know, if we look at how attackers, whether it's military, whatever, they shut down information for a start, so you don't know what's happening. They lie to you to con people. So we want to pull the Australian people generally into one force. And that includes all the freedom movements, Charles, because I think it's very, very important to note that through all the freedom movement, I'll do this as fast as I can. We constantly hear the freedom movement is organic. We don't want people with egos. We don't want people with leaders. We don't want all this sort of crap, right? Well, I'm here to tell you that if you don't have leaders, but good leaders, you are going to lose. It is that simple. You must, if you have an army, which we need to build, you must have a leadership structure. And if you don't, go home now. You're done. You're finished. It's over. So that's a part of what I'm about. And I would say to qualify that, Charles, we've had many, many groups that have been going around since 2020, and we're still getting our backside handed to us on a plate. So we're losing, so we need to change tactics. That's the first thing. So Billboard Battalion and what I'm about is to try and take that leadership role simply because no one else is. Now, when they talk about egos and all this other crap, mate, I would much rather be at home sitting on a tractor or, you know, working livestock or doing hay and silage. That's me. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this stuff, but I am because nobody else is. And I believe I have the knowledge and the skills to pull it off. So,
excellent. So education, information, and then unite Australians to push back against this evil force that's designed a depopulation, and it needs leaders, and you're putting your hand up to be the leader of this army to push back because we are, humanity is under attack. So it literally is World War III.
It is, Charles, and you know, so many people don't understand that. And you know, in terms of whether I put my hand up, we're just going on with the job and doing it. And we're traveling around Australia now and we're building our numbers, we're building our forces. And can I just say very quickly that this week we're coming up to Anzac Day within the next few days, and Billboard Battalion will be doing a presentation in Albany, Western Australia, on the 24th at a little hall on the, I think it's the King River Hall around Albany on the night of the 24th. And then we're going to broadcast live from Albany on Anzac Day because, as people know, that's where the Anzacs sailed from. So I think it's very, very, very symbolic that we just happen to be here at that time. So we're going to run with that.
I think it's a wonderful linkage, because I was about to say, you know, on the Anzacs, when you read, and I urge everybody, in all of the material that's written in the build-up to Anzac Day and then the Anzac Day commemoration day itself in the mainstream media, it's always, what did those Anzacs fight for? What, in fact, every war that Australia's been involved in, our Aussies who gave their lives were fighting for freedom, Wade, for freedom. You know, they weren't fighting for more money. They were fighting for Australia's sovereignty, for its freedom. So everybody, please understand that. And that's what Wade's doing now. This is just as dangerous a war. This is mass, global mass murder. And so Anzac is about the fight for freedom. So you being in Albany is a wonderful linkage. Now, how can people help you in this work? What's the most important thing you need?
Well, We are getting calls from all over Australia to travel to their communities and present. So one of the most important things that we need at the minute is funding. Billboard Battalion, you know, our stuff can't run on nothing. The fuel cost is enormous, and you know, like all the expenses that go with that. We've basically put our businesses and our lives on hold. Now we are in full scale battle formation. So we need help financially. We're also gathering more people around the country who we can start to put together our groups to fight against the politicians. We need to put together groups who are going to take our messaging into the community. And we need people in the community who are hearing this message no longer be frightened or intimidated to stand up. We need people to stand up out of the crowd, because that's how we get others to follow. And then we need people who are going to push the message and not be too intimidated or scared. And this is what we get with a lot of our agricultural communities and a lot of our other communities, quite frankly. But our farmers, and I'll put it to you, Charles, if I could get all our farmers to act as one and pool resources financially, socially, economically, and politically, we would have this tidied up within a week.
There's an inspiring vision. I love it. We've got 2 minutes to go. Wade, that is a magnificent vision. How do people send you money? What's the story?
So I can go to our website, which is
billboardbattalion.com.
Yes, and there's a donate here link. So I urge everybody, like, we are in the fight of our life right now for our lives. And, you know, I've been saying for a while, if don't tell us how much you love your kids and your grandkids and all that sort of thing if you don't get involved with us in this fight, because they are coming for your kids. We've seen in Western Australia here draconian laws. We've seen in Victoria draconian laws that's going to give them the right to come and just take people. We've seen here this parasite in the Western Australian government here is talking about having the Australian military patrolling borders. We've seen when we're up in New South Wales just before Christmas, we've seen the Australian military is training police to do door-to-door urban combat. So you better understand the effluent here is about to get very real. So
well said. The shit is about to hit the fan, as you rightly say. Wade Northhausen, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on having the courage to stand up for doing what you see needs to be done. I'm with you on this whole issue of truth. The billboardbattalion.com, give what you can, because now is the time. In a few months, it'll be too late. Well done, Wade. We're supporting you totally. On you go with passion, a true passionate Aussie. Bye for now. See you next week.
Thanks very much.